right now. So now to give us the sermon and the update is Carlos Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. I do have an update on mom before I begin with the sermon for today. So thank you, Mr. Fleming. I hope everyone is having a blessed and restful Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are, wherever you may be. Our weather in Puerto Rico this week has been very warm. It's kind of getting cooler, but cooler in Puerto Rico is typically somewhere in the low 70s with a lot of humidity. But today we're having a beautiful blue sky day here in Puerto Rico. Very warm. Temperatures in the high 80s, low 90s, as usual around this time of year. But before I begin with the sermon, I told Mr. Fleming I had an extended update because, as you well know, the last time mom had two appointments this past Monday, and the first one was with a second opinion with a different doctor. As you all know, mom is done with chemotherapy, thank God, back in September the 1st, we sought a second opinion just because of the next treatment that the oncologist wanted to do. It had some severe side effects on her lungs and in her heart, and we were kind of worried about that, and she did have a second opinion. We're blessed to have gone this Monday because the appointments were for February, so he was able to see her. The prognosis is very good, so she did start a new, more natural treatment under his care, so we won't see him again until February, so we're praying that all that goes well. And also, she did have an appointment with her surgeon for the surgery that she had November the 4th, and everything is looking great. The wound from her surgery is healing well, and he's finding her in good spirits. She's gathered her strength. She's recovering. She's walking more, eating, and resting more, and it's truly a blessing, so we appreciate all your prayers. The surgeon just has one more study to do, but that won't be done until February. So I think for the first time since this last December, we won't have any medical appointments or anything for the next couple of months. So we'll keep monitoring and anything, and probably won't have an update weekly. But as soon as they become available, I'll give them to the church. So as always, we are grateful, and she's grateful, and our family is grateful for all your continued prayers and keeping her in a prayer so that the new treatment goes well and we don't have to revert back to any old treatment. So that is my update, and I will get out the sermon for today. Well, brethren, as Mr. Fleming mentioned in the announcements, this upcoming week on Thursday, November the 25th, everyone will take part across the United States of America and other places around the world with the celebration of the Day of Thanksgiving. This is typically a day associated with family gatherings, getting together, taking part in a large meal, often prepared for many, many hours the day of, and enjoying each other's company. Also, it is a day associated with giving thanks to God and Christ for all of the blessings that have been given to people throughout the year. One interesting concept with Thanksgiving is that most people around the world will give thanks to God for everything they have been given physically. And we should give thanks to God for all He has provided to us throughout the year. We are blessed to be alive, to have health, to have a roof over our heads in our home, food on our table, a means of transportation, a job to provide for our families and pay for our responsibilities, and anything else we have been given, and there is no problem with that. However, today, I would like to look at what we have been given spiritually in our lives, as it relates to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We should always give thanks to God for all He has provided in our life, and there can be no denying that. But we should also consider the spiritual aspect of what God provides in our life, because there are a number of things God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, provide for us on a daily basis for our sustainment throughout all that happens in our life. I've titled today's sermon, Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings. We will look at different areas throughout God's Word regarding how God and Christ have blessed us spiritually, and how we can learn to count each blessing as something truly unique for us in our lives. Today's sermon will center around the book of Psalms and how the teachings, praises, and blessings David talks about are of a unique nature for us to grasp. In addition, we will look at the parallels between David's writings in the book of Psalms and cross-reference them with the teachings of the New Testament. Specifically, how events that are written in Psalms are a prelude to what our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, mentions in his teachings to his disciples. Also, we will look at different examples throughout the New Testament with Paul and Peter as well. There will be five corresponding Psalms we will be covering for today, each one with a specific blessing David alludes to, and how we can count each one as a blessing God has given us. Let's begin with the first blessing David alludes to, and it is the blessing to delight to do God's will. This blessing is truly unique because it allows for us to take part in something that is required from us daily, and that is to do God's absolute and perfect will. Unlike the world around us that only seek to do what is right in the sight of man, we, as God's called and chosen few, have been given the knowledge and wisdom to know God's will is always at the top of what we need. There is not one thing in the world that can be done in our lives without God first allowing it to happen. And although we often get caught in what we want in our lives, God always knows best, even if what happens in our lives is not what we wanted. God had a reason for it, we just don't know it until later on, depending on God's time and will. Let's begin today's sermon by turning, if you haven't already, to the book of Psalms, chapter 40, beginning in verses 1 and 2. Psalms, chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Reading out of the King James Version, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. David's patience with God's response paid off in the end. God brings us from the bottom and makes our way and guides our steps in our life. Let's read now verses 3 through 5. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God's thoughts toward us cannot be counted. He has done wonderful works in our life. A true blessing for us all. David understood how important it was to know that we can completely rely, trust, and put our confidence in God for all He has done for us. His will, manifested in our lives, is part of that blessing. To know what He has planned for our lives is what needs to absolutely happen in the first place. Reading now verses 8 through 11 here in Psalms 40. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. These verses highlight what our role should be, our blessing to do God's will. We cannot hide what God has given us to do, ever. God's love and truth will always preserve us. Always remember that. Dropping down to verses 12 through 14. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. David presents the point of knowing there are times in which our enemies can seem to get the best of us, like being overtaken by not necessarily a person, but it could also be a situation in your life. David's plea for help, as is the case with us, happens to all of us at any given time. God will take care of all our enemies. He will always guard our life. Reading verses 16 and 17 now. It says, Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarring, O my God. David humbled himself before God. So should we when something like this happens in our life. Humbling ourselves towards God in these given situations that we are not exempt from allows us to submit to the will of God. The psalmist writes two distinct messages for us, one of thanksgiving and the other of lament. The words of David become prominent and prophetic of the Messiah, which will we get here into shortly. David calls for God's will to be done, deliverance from his enemies, and the victory of all righteous people. This is something we can apply in our lives as well. Let's look at the New Testament parallels with Psalms 40, but keep a bookmark or anything in Psalms because we will be going back throughout the sermon today by turning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Verses 5 through 10. Here we will read of the words spoken by the author of Hebrews in parallel to the words of King David. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. It says, Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou would not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. David's words refer to the fulfillment of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Through his body, there was no more need for any physical sacrifices. Our Messiah presented himself as the ultimate sacrifice for all our sins. And it is truly a blessing we can count on in our life. The prophecy from the book of Psalms will be evident because of the fulfillment of the Word of God. Even all those years before our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, would be on this physical earth. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. Here we will read of Christ praying in Gethsemane before he would be delivered and tried. Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. It says, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit you here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. We need to count our blessing to have our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, be our Savior, who took upon himself all the sins of mankind. And, even before being delivered after his arrest, trial, and crucifixion, Christ knew God's will needed to be done, not his own. Even throughout the most difficult of tasks, our Messiah was confident and put his faith and trust in God's will, no matter the test, trial, or tribulation. God's will is a blessing because each difficulty in our lives comes with a solution God has already put in place. Let's turn to the book of John, and we'll pick up a few verses there. Beginning in chapter 4, verse 34. Here we read of another example Christ mentions of doing God's will. John chapter 4 and verse 34. It says, Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Let's turn just a few pages over to John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. It says, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Here we read Paul's words of our commitment to the will of God and how we are to view ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. It says, "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We are blessed to have the ability to trust in God through Christ. We are nothing without God. He is our sufficiency in life." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. A very familiar set of verses to all of us, I'm sure. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." We have to be absolute in the faith that God and Christ have truly blessed us with their love and care. Our calling is significant. God will mold and perfect us daily. What a true sight and blessing to be a part of. Let's look at the second element for the sermon today, which is counting our blessing of God and Christ providing comfort for the forsaken. We all go through difficult and tumultuous times in our lives. We know this world is full of all the temptations, trials, aches, and pains that are associated with being in this physical world. We are human, after all, and our human nature conducts itself at times when we know we have failed God in Christ. However, we are not alone in this process. We often might think that God and Christ are away from us, that we cannot feel them. However, that is the complete opposite of their love and comfort for us. Even during the most difficult of times, we are never left alone, brethren. Let's turn to Psalms 41, beginning in verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 41, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." We must set the example with those who cannot for themselves. God will not forsake us, leave us to our enemies. God will give us the strength to overcome any sickness. He will raise us from our sick bed. There is nothing impossible for God, and nothing in this world that he cannot overcome for our life. Our Heavenly Father will always reach out to us and lend us his helping hand whenever we need it. Continuing now in verses 4 through 5 here in Psalms 41, says, I said, Lord, be gracious to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? David's plea for inner healing is read here in these verses. This is something that will ultimately happen to all of us, if not already. Unfortunately, there are people out there, could be friends, relatives, co-workers, acquaintances, that wish us the worst in our lives. This could be because of who we are, religious beliefs, and have no base for it. We are not exempt from persecution or trouble. Now, this could be happening now. It could never have happened to you. But in the near future, when the end times come, we are going to go through incredibly difficult times. But our plea must remain to God always. Dropping down to verses 7 through 9. All who hate me whisper together against me. They devise harm against me. An evil disease clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will not rise up again. Yes, my own close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted up the heel against me. People will always plot behind our backs. People will want to see us suffer, be sick. Friends and family will want to see us suffer. Human nature is evident. This should not come as a surprise to us. It is written that it will happen. Let's read verses 10 through 12 now. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you favor me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before you forever. Asking for God's mercy on us, like David writes, is key to what we should do in these kinds of circumstances. God is on our side, always. God will set us on the correct path at all times. We can never lose our faith in His plan for us. Let's look at the New Testament parallels now to these verses in Psalms 41. These verses in Psalms 41 paint a familiar picture to the story you might be thinking of regarding Judas Iscariot and the betrayal to our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read them and you can put them in your notes. It says, Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Let's do turn to the book of John, chapter 13, verses 15 through 20. John chapter 13, verses 15 through 20. It says, For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. The parallel with David's words in Psalms 41, foreshadowing the betrayal our Messiah suffered at the hands of Judas Iscariot, is seen in these verses we just read. You can continue reading of the story here in John 13, verses 21 through 30. But we won't read them now. Just put it in your notes for future study. Let's do turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This will reiterate what we just read about. Acts chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." The parallel of Psalms 41, verse 9 is here. David wrote of what was to come, even in the New Testament, after Christ's death and resurrection. They were mentioned here in the book of Acts. Let's look at the third element for the sermon today, and that is counting our blessing of God's wonderful works in our lives. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 107, beginning in verses 1 and 2. This chapter, I'll be using the Modern English Version, Psalms chapter 107, verses 1 and 2. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." God's mercy to us never goes away. We can testify to this because of God's help in times of need. Dropping down to verses 4 through 9 now. "They wandered in the wilderness on a deserted path. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them on a level road, that they might go to a city to live in. Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." When we are most vulnerable, our hope and restoration rests with God. God will always put us on the right path, even when we are wrong. We have to praise God for all he does. When we seek God, our soul is lifted when things happen unexpectedly. God will never fail us. Reading verses 11 through 14 now. "Because they rebelled against the words of God and rejected the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their hearts with hard labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke apart their bonds." People that rebel against God's word are still able to redeem themselves. We are blessed with God hearing us when we are most down and not vulnerable due to life's situations. Reading verse 15, "Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people." Dropping down to verses 17 through 20, "Some were fools because of their transgressions, and because of their iniquities they are afflicted. They loathed all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. When we are afflicted because of the choices we make, God's word does not come back empty. He will deliver us from whatever situation comes on us. Reading verses 21 and 22. Let them praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the people, and let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Let's look at how these verses in Psalms are parallel with the New Testament now. Let's turn to the book of Matthew once again, this time chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. Here, we read the familiar story of the healing of the centurion's servant. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. Reading out of the King James Version once again. It says, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. We often think we are not worthy of God and Christ's help, but we are blessed to have the opportunity of their help at all times without hesitation. Let's continue here in Matthew 8, dropping down to verses 23 through 27. It says, And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Yet there be chaos in our lives, we are blessed to have the faith that God is in control, that we can follow Christ's own example in times of trials in our lives. We can be sure of storms going through our lives by the situations we face, whether sickness, illness, emotional problems, spiritual problems, it doesn't matter. God and Christ will always be there. We just need to maintain the faith in them by the word of promise given to us. You can also read of this account in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 20 through to 25. I won't read it, and you don't need to turn there. Just put it in your notes, Luke 8, 22 to 25. Let's look at the fourth element for the sermon today. And that is counting our blessing of thanksgiving for deliverance of God for all of our lives. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms, this time chapter 116. Beginning in verses 1 through 6. 16, verses 1 through 6. It says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. David's initial praise for God's response is our call to always rely on God. Call to him. Never cease from doing it. David's time of need when in distress is evident. Cry to God, yet he knew and understood God's mercy. God saved David from his despair, just like he will do with us whenever the time merits it. Dropping down to verses 7 through 10. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. God restored David's soul, knowing the effect of God's actions in David's life is what we can learn from this. God will save our life and have to maintain our faith in God, just like David did during these troublesome times. Dropping down to verses 12 and 13. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament now to see the similarities between these verses and examples by turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It looks like I'm hearing a little bit of interference. I think someone has not muted their phones. You can mute your phones with star 6. Just sounds staticky. Star 6 will mute it, or if you're using a cell phone, just tap the mute button. Okay, thank you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, reading of Christ's familiar words to all of us during our most dire times. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The words of Christ being a true blessing to us, as he will give us the rest we need. His yoke is upon us at all times. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Verses 13 through 18. It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are continually blessed by God and the knowledge of the word of faith, of going through the resurrection of God, like Christ experienced, knowing we continually live by the things we cannot see. Our faith needs to be based on eternal things, those not seen by our own eyesight, but the faith in our inner self. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God's faithfulness does not depend upon the faithfulness of man. Let's look at the fifth and final element for the sermon today, and that is counting our blessing of praising the ways of the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 138, and we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 8. Psalms, chapter 138, verses 1 through 8. It says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cry, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. God's mercy and truth are worthy of praise. Always. God always answers. Gives us strength with all people praising God in the future. All will come to know the ways of God. We know God and respects and regards us, even as lowly as we are with our human flesh and nature. God will deliver us from the hands of our enemies. He will save us. God will complete the purpose and work He has for us in our lives. Let's look at the New Testament parallel by turning to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 48. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 48. It says, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." The prophecy of the Old Testament is fulfilled. God always watches out for the little person, like us. We need to remember the five elements we discussed when thinking of the blessings God has given us, and count them worthy in our lives. Every single waking day God gives us. It's not just the physical things, but the spiritual aspects that God gives us which truly matter. We have to count the blessing of being in delight to do God's will. Count our blessing of God's comfort for the forsaken. Count our blessing for God's wonderful works in our lives. Count our blessing for the thanksgiving for deliverance. And count our blessing of praising the ways of the Lord. Also, let us remember the parallels between David's words and Psalms, along with the words of Christ we can use with the Apostle Paul and Peter, of being able to know that our spiritual blessings given from God in Christ are worthy to be counted as a blessing every day of our life. I encourage each of you to write down these chapters in the book of Psalms that will serve as further study into God's Word, specifically with David's words regarding situations that will help us in our own times of need. Psalms 9, Psalms 10, Psalms 30, Psalms 32, Psalms 34, and Psalms 92. All have unique and meaningful lessons we can apply in our lives. Let's conclude today's sermon with the words of Paul to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. It says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services